The Business News Hour is made possible through the support of RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts with offices throughout the metro. Learn more at homeconnectusa.com. And the Strudel House Fine Austrian Dining. Ask about the gourmet passport, thestrudelhouse.com.
Hey, welcome back to the News Hour. Grateful that you have made the decision to ride home with us this afternoon. Our guest is a returning visitor to the Business News Hour. In fact, he was with us just last week talking about the Great Iowa Pet Expo. He was one of the headliners at that event this past weekend, and we're grateful to have him back. Joel Silverman grew up in California. At the age of 13, the first animal that he ever trained was his family dog. And as a teenager, he and his family would go to San Diego, and they would check out SeaWorld every year. And all of that led to Joel getting really ingrained with this whole idea of animals and animal training. And he got a job at SeaWorld, put his head inside a killer whale. So it was just kind of crazy. Welcome back to the News Hour, Joel. Good to have you here.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
So, yeah, let's start at the beginning, because you're a TV star. You have done movies with training animals and dogs and those kinds of things. You've got a long and storied career in this business of animal training. But let's start at the beginning, because we're going to have time today to talk about these things.
Sure.
What's this whole fascination with SeaWorld? What was going on?
With me?
Yeah.
Well, what happened was, when I was a kid, you pretty much hit right on it. My parents used to take me to SeaWorld when I was a kid. We used to go on vacation, and my brother and I. And we would go down there, and I would watch them with the animals. And I was just very, very fascinated with the trainers, the way they worked with the animals. And at the same time, we had a new dog named Shadow. It was like a family dog. It was the only dog we ever had, you know, really. And so I was kind of working with this dog, and I would, you know, I'd go and watch the trainers, and I'd come home, and I kind of like apply what I saw them do with the dog. And a lot of it was about the bond and the relationship and the trust. And so I just saw them. I could see the animals really, really were into them very, very much. Whether it was a sea lion, a killer whale, or a dolphin, it just was, they were really, really into the trainers. I could see they really enjoyed what they were doing. And so that's kind of what I did. Every summer we went down there. So finally, I think I was 15 years old. I told my parents, I said, you know, I want to do that. You know, my parents said, well, why don't you talk to somebody in the personnel department? You know,
so go scoop poop or something.
Exactly. Yeah. So I talked to the people in personnel. Well, and so I talked to them, and they're like, well, you know, most trainers at SeaWorld that are trainers, they actually worked at other, they got their foot in the door. They work in other places in the park. They work either in park operations or the food and beverage, but they just hired. I mean, they didn't have experience working with marine mammals. They just were, because they worked in the park, they were able to kind of move around.
Sure.
So I got hired in the park operations department at SeaWorld, which basically it's the lowest form of life you could possibly be. You are directing traffic. You are cleaning the stadiums, sweeping the stadiums, sweeping the cigarette butts. You are selling fish in the feeder booths at the pools to feed the animals. I mean, they just rotate you around, you know. But I always wanted to be...
Great experience, though.
Oh, it was great. It was a great experience. I was 16 years old, you know. Yeah, and so my parents, I stayed down there during the summers in a trailer across the bay, Mission Bay, at this De Anza Trailer Park. It was like this, you know. And so I stayed in a trailer, and I would take my motorcycle across around the bay to the park and go to work, and that's what I did. And I started, and I would, if I could, I would help out the trainers. And the park operations department didn't really like that, you know, because they were like, keep your nose clean, but I started getting my foot in the door. And then I met the director of training, who I started bugging this guy just constantly, and he just, I mean, he would see me, and he would veer off, he would veer away. You know,
I don't want to talk to this
kid. And he was
kid.
Like, you know, and I was just this, you know, funny-looking little 16-year-old kid that was just bugging. And so so what happened was, they had told me, they said, you know, I'd worked at SeaWorld for a couple of years picking up trash. He said, you know, I highly recommend you going to this college. It's called Moore Park College, and it's actually kind of near where I'm from. And Moore Park, it's a junior college, and it had an exotic animal training and management program. Mm. And so he gave me a recommendation. I got in, and I went through this program. And so 2 years later, of course, I got out. As soon as I got out, I got hired at Universal Studios doing the animal show, because I had known some people that were hired there. So I was at Universal for about a year. doing the animal show with the animal. It was about right 1980. And then right off the bat, SeaWorld called me and they were like, hey, we have an opening. You know, we have a bird show we want to put together. You know, are you interested?
A bird show.
Yeah, birds training, hawks and eagles and stuff. And I had some experience with hawks and birds. And so I originally got hired there doing this bird show, and then eventually I moved over just working sea lions briefly and then eventually killer whales, and that's basic. And even though I was at SeaWorld training for – I was only really only training there for about 3 years, I had a lot of – you know, once I went to the work with the killer whales, I had a lot of experience working over that period of time with them. And there's a behavior. If people go to my website, which is joelsilverman.net, they'll – under galleries, you can see I'm getting shot off the killer whale's nose, you know, and that – and I know they don't do that stuff anymore, but people may have seen that behavior. But I had trained that on a couple different killer whales in San Diego from scratch.
I think that's a fascinating trainer story.
Yeah, so the bottom line is, it's what's ironic about this whole thing is I talked to you about the bond and the trust, and to this day, that is really my mantra. You know, it really is about the bond and the trust, getting the dog in a place where your dog wants to please you, wants to make you happy. So, you know, it's ironic that happened all in like when I was like 16 years old, because here I am, you know, over 40 years later, and it still is the same. I haven't changed at all that way.
I would suggest to you that most trainers, most world-class trainers, and I know several in the horse community, have the same, absolutely the same idea about training. It should never hurt the horse. It should never hurt the animal. It should always be safe for the trainer and the animal, and it shouldn't cause distress or stress on either party.
Right, and some of the horse, and I'm not a horse trainer. I'm not comfortable around horses. And it's kind of funny because most horse people say, "Wait a second, you're swimming with killer whales. You're not comfortable around a horse." But I'm not. But the horse trainers that I know, the ones that I do know, it's touch. It really is. There is a touch to it. I mean, it's not pulling the horse. I mean, the more you pull, they're going to pull back.
Right, exactly.
And they just the way they handle that horse and the way they are. I mean, it's just amazing. The guy I forgot the guy's name was the guy that did the horse. Well, he was called was a horse whisperer, and I forgot what his name was. But that guy, you know, they videotaped him, and he had there was a lot. There was a video of him, and it showed exactly what he did. And he didn't even. He said, "Okay, I'm going to walk next to the horse." And as he walked near the horse, you know, 6 feet away, and he turned away, and I'm going to turn away now, I'm going to walk this way, and all of a sudden it's like, watch the horse also starts following it. I mean, there's all these different things, so I have a ton of respect for horse people.
A good friend of mine who studied under the horse whisperer, who's also now been world-class trainer, his name is Craig Cameron from Texas, and he's been in this business a long, 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 long time, and same thing. But I think, to bring it back to Joel Silverman for a moment, it is the same, I think, innate ability to have compassion for whatever the creature is, and then it turns out positive for
always,
both parties.
Always. And, and the thing is, especially with a dog, you know, a dog is the one animal that wants to please you, wants to make you happy. And so, and that's what I try to tell people in all of my books, my TV show. I talk about these three steps. The first step is getting to know your dog. Second is developing a relationship. The third is building the trust. Once you have the trust, you can then train the dog. I tell people before you even train your dog, those three steps. People say, how long does it take? I say somewhere between 2 to 4 weeks. But you can't develop the trust unless you develop a relationship.
Right.
You can't develop a relationship unless you get to know your dog. You have to know the dog
it's
you're
the
working
same
with.
Same with everything.
You know, and that's really what it is. And it is. It's the same with people. I mean, the third book I wrote, which is Bond with Your Heart, Train with Your Brain, which is a registered trademark as well. But my third book, that's a self-help book for parents, teachers, managers, supervisors. And one of the reasons I wrote it was because exactly what you just said. It's all parallel. It's all the same, whether you're working with a parent's working with their child, a student with a teacher with their student, or an employer with their employee, or a person with their dog.
A lot of it comes back to respect. Joel Silverman, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. Now, before we get into this second segment, I want to come back to SeaWorld for just a moment, because you were hands on the ground. You were a guy there. You were a kid, and that's been a long time ago. Maybe.
Right, right.
But, you know, there's been all kinds. SeaWorld has spent a ton of money rebranding themselves because of all kinds of attacks on the business. And you were there, and I'm not going to ask you for any trade secrets or anything like that, but what do you think about all of this blow-up and all the brouhaha going on with SeaWorld?
Well, I tell people all the time, the one thing that makes our country great is the fact that everybody's got different opinions, and you're able to have your opinion on things. The problem is when people are not given the right information. And I tell people all the time, it's like, you know, before you make decisions on things, make sure you get the right information. There was a movie that came out that was very, very, that depicted SeaWorld in a pretty bad way. That's got a lot of discrepancies, to be honest with you. I'm not a pitch man for SeaWorld. There's things I like about SeaWorld. There's things I don't like about SeaWorld. But I will tell you that, a good example is when you watch that movie, it gives you the feeling that SeaWorld takes animals from the wild and puts them in the shows. And the last killer whale that was ever collected probably was over 40 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
And almost every one of the dolphins and sea lions you see performing in the shows is either captive bred in captivity, or picked up as an injured animal, not able to be released back in the wild because it was blind, because it was, you know, blind in one eye, or has a weird flipper and it can't kill fish. So they give it a great life and in captivity. And so they give it a great life. Sea lions and dolphins, and you know, they love to learn. They love to work, and that, and they put them in the show, and they perform.
Interesting stuff.
So what I tell people is, like, you know, I tell people, don't, you know, make up your opinion, but make it. Do it based on the facts. Yeah. And what I tell people is that just make sure you get both sides, because you're seeing one thing that, you know, and just to let everybody know, it's like there's a lot of discrepancies in that movie. So, you know,
my guest on the Business News Hour is Joel Silverman. He's here for the rest of the hour. We're going to step aside real quick and do the market report to let you know exactly what happened today on Wall Street and why. And then we're coming back with Joel Silverman and talk more about dogs and dog training and his new gig with Citibank. Chase.
Yes,
Chase Bank,
Chase
wasn't
Bank,
it?
Chase.
Citibank. thank you very much. No, it was Chase.
Right.
And how his dog, Dutch, just kind of stole the show on that deal. Yeah, we'll tell you about that and more coming up yet this half hour on the Business News Hour.